got a quorum, baby. We got more than a quorum.
The House Committee on Revenue for March 17, 2015 will come to order. Thank you all for being back here yet another day. I'm going to just describe quickly what we're doing with our agenda today. We're going to finish the two public hearings on Senate Bill 611 and on House Bill 2077 today. We have several people left over from past hearings for both of these bills. The committee is hard at work on what we can do to manage both of these bills, and so we will, after that hearing, be carrying both the public hearing and the work session on Senate Bill 611 over till tomorrow, in addition to what we do today, I'll have a better indication on House Bill 2077 once we've finished the hearing today. So with that, we'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 611. And Kyle was here. Do we have we still have some additional people to hear from, don't we?
Just one
today?
Yeah.
Jody, please. We'll give you a couple minutes longer than what you would have had yesterday.
Yeah, that would have been really tight.
And while Jody is seating herself, let me ask, I don't intend to open this for a public hearing again. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on this bill? There may be some other opportunities, but don't plan on it. Okay, Jody, go ahead.
For the record, I'm Jody Weiser with Tax Fairness Oregon, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak to this committee about this bill. I was going to come and talk a lot about numbers. I'm going to try to use only five numbers that aren't like a date in what I say today. We're here. You talk a lot in this committee about exemptions and investments, and this bill has data centers and fiber optics and all that sort of thing. But this morning it dawned on me that what I really want to talk about is why you're here passing this legislation. I've heard, and I imagine you've also heard, that data centers aren't getting built because we haven't passed this. But in my written testimony, you'll see a list of data center announcements that they were building, that they hired the construction company, that they are going forward. And so I'm not sure about the veracity of that. But that's the part of the bill that nobody is really challenging. And so you could pass that part of the bill out separately and leave some of the rest of it for real work. I know that when you ran for office, you talked about funding education and that most of us are not satisfied with what we're doing about that funding, and that you talked about human services and we're not satisfied with what we're doing about that. And yet we're talking about tax break mostly for one company, and there we've not yet heard, or at least I've not heard on either side, a compelling reason for why we're making a change. It's kind of like the kid got to college and he called home and he said, "Mom, this is a lot harder than high school." And your response isn't to call the college and said, "Hey, make that easier." You want your kid to go to college and work harder. We've got a company that's asking for a tax break. They're asking for a tax break because they grew up and became a communications company and they don't like being taxed like the competition is taxed. They're being taxed as a communications company instead of as somebody who delivers TV shows through the cable. And they testified on the other side that they wouldn't leave. So it's really just somebody stamping their feet and saying, "We want a tax break," and that's why you're being pressured. And the two bills were put together to kind of make things confusing. CenturyLink is already doing fiber optics. They've got it in Hillsboro. They're laying it in front of a friend's house right off Hawthorne. It's happening without this tax break that we're getting fiber optics in this city, in this state. So we don't really need to do a big tax break to get that. We need to let the market take its course on that. The parents and students of this state from kindergarten to college are waiting to see what their next school year will look like. They don't know about that yet. The elderly are waiting to find out what assistance they'll have and what they'll have to wait in line for. We don't have certainty about that yet. Those in need, and those, and there are plenty of Oregonians with need, are wondering if the programs that they depend upon will be fully funded or not. And yet there's talk about a tax break that could cost, that would give tax breaks worth about $19 million, with $2.5 million a year being transferred to other people because we'll pick up the bonds. Because we need tax certainty for certain businesses, it just doesn't make sense. There isn't a rush, and it's been a kind of an artificial thing put on this building that's pressuring action before action has to happen. I would challenge you to wait until the end of the session, and when all your budgets feel good and you look around and you have some extra dollars to give away, you have enough to make the local communities and the school funding formula whole for whatever you give away, and give away tax breaks to communications companies, that's when you do it. But you need to have the money available before you act. There are, now to the numbers I will give you. There is a bill to study data centers, and I believe we need that bill. It doesn't have to be part of this because the taxes they pay is not the area really in question. But I know at least one data center got a $500,000 worth of Energy Trust of Oregon grants. Still don't have information about whether they get Department of Energy grants, but I assume they do. And there are two income tax breaks that some of them are getting, I assume, but we don't get to know because we don't get to know about taxes. One, in rural communities, would pay 62.5% of the gross payroll of a firm. We know there are four firms in the state that get this. We don't know which ones they are. Could be a data center in Prineville or the Dalles or one of the ports. And there's another tax credit that if you have one of the 15 e-commerce zones, and it looks like most of Hillsboro does, you can get up to $2 million of tax credit a year against $4 million or more of expenses. That's a lot. Some of those data centers have 1 to 7 jobs, and yet we could be giving them tax credits worth $2 million a year, virtually every year, because they change out their computers constantly. And we don't know what's happening with that money. And so I think that there does need to be a study of this new emerging business to see if we're being too generous. One of the data center builders said if energy were free in California, it would still be cheaper to do data centers in Oregon because of our taxes. My guess is that's not just not paying property taxes for 5 years or 15 years. That's about us handing money back off of the income taxes that they owe. So that's two of the numbers. I think I already did the $2.5 million that is pushed onto other people. And there's $7 million. If you pass out a tax break that's worth $19 million to these businesses, about $7 million of it will come out of the school funding formula. So really, when you do something in here to reduce local taxes, it no longer is just the local taxpayers' money because it's the school funding formula across the state. The other thing that I've learned is there's another bill in this building that would reduce franchise fees by 29%. That bill is currently quiet. Well, our largest communication company testified that they pay $30 million a year in franchise fees. So if that bill goes through this building, that's another $10 million that you would be taking out of local communities in the receipts they receive. I think it's really important that we be careful about. Maybe what we should do is if you give a tax break on income taxes, we increase franchise fees to pick up the difference and keep the local community whole. It won't take care of the school funding formula, but it would at least be fair to the cities and counties. It isn't like these businesses and other businesses haven't come on a repeated basis before this building before to have their taxes cut. In fact, that's why we have no income tax coming from our traded sector industries. First, their taxes were paid based on an equal formula on three items. They're down to paying only single sales factor, and that pretty much means zero for some of our corporations. They just kept coming back and coming back and coming back until they got it. We learned yesterday that in 1973 there was, you know, complaints that we had taxation of intangibles. I didn't know that, but I know we did in 97 and in 99 and in 2005 and 2007. And you know what? People complain about their taxes. And they'll come back. I asked, how much are we spending on this Comcast bill? And the answer I got from the department was $290,000. $290,000 worth of cost against an expenditure that might give a tax break of $19 million is a great return on investment. We need to keep spending money on the lawyers, not to the tax breaks, it seems. Twice the legislature in 97 and 99 passed bills to reduce taxation on intangibles. I want to read you one paragraph from the veto letter that the governor signed, because it seems more cogent today than it would have in 1997, which is about when I quit teaching to work here, because we'd had 10 years of cuts for education in important public schools. It is ironic that the search for revenue for public schools this session was competing with the legislature's desire to provide tax breaks to businesses and many other individual constituencies. While each industry group taken by itself may have a legitimate argument, the cumulative impact of these tax cuts further damages our ability to pay for public education as well as public services such as public safety and public health. And that is where you are today, and I urge your prudence in making decisions that take care of the needs of your constituents. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for Jody? Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. It's always cogent and often compelling. Thank you. And with that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 611 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2077. Chris, it's been a while. Why don't you remind us what this bill is about? And
good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is the bill that would require the Secretary of State or corporation taxpayers to file a disclosure statement with the Secretary of State. It would apply to all publicly traded corporations, all financial corporations and insurers, and many other corporations with an FTE of at least 25 employees, although the testimony from last time indicated that the intent was 250 employees, not 25 employees, or at least $10 million in Oregon sales, and would require the first statement to be filed for the state fiscal year 2015 by March 15, 2016, and subsequent reports to be filed at the same time as the corporation's tax return. The bill identifies the information to be included on the disclosure statement, and for the most part, it's information from the corporation's tax return. And the bill would also allow the Secretary of State to impose a penalty for corporations who do not comply.
Okay, thank you. Now, we've already held one hearing on this bill. We had a very large number of people signed up, and I look at the sign-up sheet from today. We don't have everybody who we did not get to signed up. So if you were signed up before and you want to testify, please go and sign up at the table so we can make sure that we get you heard today. But I think we'll start with J.L. Wilson from AOI. And it looks like those two are connected. Yeah, so we'll do it that way. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, I'm J.L. Wilson, representing Associated Oregon Industries, but I may, in fact, have the responsibility of speaking here for a much larger business community in opposition to the measure. I can say in my 15 years of lobbying, there's almost no issue that generates such a visceral negative reaction than this particular bill from the clients I've represented. And the issue really is one of competitive balance. And the point that I try to make with regard to this issue is that the bill sets a threshold of 25 employees. In my company, we might meet that 25-employee threshold. And yet there are many people similarly situated as we are that are also organized as S-Corps, LLCs, partnerships. I happen to be a C-Corp. The reality is we all do the same thing. We all generate roughly the same amount of revenue, have the same amount of employees. And yet my taxes are the ones that are posted on the Secretary of State's website and all the details that the bill requires. Now, if the intention is to put it up to 250 employees, it's just a matter of scale. The reality is you've got similarly situated companies who do the same thing, make the same product, produce the same service, and yet one company, because they're a C Corp, is publicly disclosing their tax information. So the issue here is, you know, companies consolidate currently their financial information to keep it proprietary, to keep it from competitors, and public disclosure would cause competitive problems because by virtue of being a C Corp, I am now responsible for disclosing that information on a website. The reality is that C Corps are a diminishing form of organization in this state. In fact, the number of C Corps in this state peaked in 1998. It has been on the decline by 1 to 2% every year. In the meantime, S Corps have increased dramatically, so much so that there's 60,000 S Corps today compared to about 30,000 C Corps. So we question the wisdom in isolating one segment of the business community and saying by virtue of the fact of how you're organized as a C Corp, your taxes are made public, and we just I guess the point of view is everybody's taxes have to be public or nobody's. And so I think we come down on the come down with this probably needs to apply to all businesses, all people, or nobody, because the reality is just designated for C Corps is sort of an arbitrary designation. Oh, I got lost here in my own. Now I'm just staring at you guys.
And we're staring back.
Some of the other feedback. Some of the other feedback I got is that 2077 does in fact require more information than the SEC requires on its 10K forms, and so I think there's been some question. Well, this is just equivalent to what's already out there. I've got pretty clear feedback from the members that they're in Section 3, Sub 5 of the bill that information is in fact more inclusive, more thorough. And it is more, in fact, information that is included on the 10K. I also got great feedback from members that say currently this type of information is not disclosed by DOR. It's not disclosed by the IRS, presumably because it's not legal to disclose this type of information. And yet Oregon would be kind of on the bleeding edge of saying, well, in fact, this proprietary information is fit for public consumption. And I guess the last thing that I'll mention is that, public disclosure, it costs our companies a lot. It will to get this information. It'll cost state government, I'm sure, money for compliance costs and to put this up. But it doesn't generate additional tax revenue. It's clear that we know how to tax C Corps. We've done so two times in the last 6 years, one back in 2009, then again in the grand bargain. So the pathway to raising taxes is clear, and sometimes you even get business support for it, as you did in the grand bargain. But making companies publicly disclose that information isn't the same thing. It doesn't get you there. Thank you. Now I'm concluded.
Now you're ready. Okay. Questions for Mr. Wilson? Representative Benz, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the I think you said the biggest challenge, I'm not sure which challenge was the biggest, but you mentioned the word proprietary. Can you elaborate?
Well, sure. And I've always said thank you, Chair Barnhart, Representative Benz. If you want to understand an organization and you want to understand what their strategic thrust is and what their strategic impetus is, you look at where they spend their money. and how they spend their money to accomplish their mission and what they want to do in the marketplace. And the information contained in Section 3, Sub 5, all the way through Sub 6 with regard to disclosure of things like management fees, credits claimed. There are a handful of things. I'm trying to pick them out in the statute that go beyond what the 10K requires for the SEC filing. I think companies would consider that proprietary information that gives away how their business units are structured, how they price their products, the kind of things that they implement to achieve strategic advantage in the marketplace. I think that they would feel that some of this information betrays that.
Yes, please. Yeah.
When I went through the list, it seemed to me that the cost of compliance was going to be significant. Do you have any examples of what it would cost for a corporation to actually respond to this?
Thank you, Chair Barnhart and Representative Benz. My feeling is that's going to be significant because there is a level of specificity in this that you don't. Most people aggregate their costs and aggregate their filings for when they file to sort of keep that information proprietary. I don't know specifically what the dollar amount would be. I know I've got feedback from a number of Oregon companies. I think you could just probably reach out and find one that could probably give you a dollar figure or an example.
Yes, please. Yeah.
The bill requires that the statements be attested to by the COO of the corporation and shall be subject to the audit by the Department of Revenue. I'm not sure if that standard is greater or less or where it fits when it comes to offering up information to a public, to the public or a public group. It seemed to me that there are certain standards that if you file whatever you're going to file and fall within them, you have protection against going to jail or something because you made a mistake. Do you know, has someone looked at that paragraph to see if those standards have changed by virtue of this proposed law?
Thank you. Chair Barnhart and Representative Benz, you've exposed a gap in my knowledge on this, so I would not be able to give you a good answer there.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Marcia Kelly, John Mullen, and Jody Weiser, please. I have the Secretary of State on the list. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard today? Please go ahead.
Again, Jody Weiser with Taxpayers Oregon. I just want to give one example. We actually helped develop a bill that that does transparency, including some transparency about corporate income and other business income taxes, not just corporations. And it limits it to the businesses that have tax breaks of one kind or another instead of all businesses, which is it's a different group of people, and there's a rationale there. Well, if you're getting a tax break, you know, this is what you get. And if you don't want disclosure, you just don't take the enterprise zone tax break, and then you don't have to disclose. I want to give an example from another committee room where the committee is struggling because we don't have transparency. We have a break that says that if you provide dependent care for your employees, you can get a tax break of up to $2,500 per employee. And the committee that's working on that is struggling with trying to understand who's getting the benefit and whether it makes sense. Is it going to businesses that are basically using having childcare available on site as a recruitment and retention tool for their highly paid employees, or is it going to people where it's actually serving a need for people who need help in paying for their child care? And we have gotten down to knowing the locations and the types of businesses, and the number of employees were U.S. wide of the corporation. Some cases, I think they've actually given the state numbers just because it's pretty obvious. But that doesn't break it down how much are we actually giving in tax credits to the corporation. And so it's very hard to examine the tax break and see if we want to continue it when we don't have data about who it's benefiting. And this bill would provide that information because it asks for a list of the tax credits you're using. Then they can do a sort by which businesses use the tax credit, and they can disclose that to the committees when they're trying to figure out what to do about any particular break. And so that's the kind of reason I think that this legislation is valuable. And I think it's also curious, and I'd love to know what the real history is. We are all quite used to the fact that our property taxes are public information. It's really hard to see what the big difference is. And I would imagine that some of the income inequality in our country might change if the workers had a better picture of what the tax payments were for their bosses. And that's a pretty radical thought, but we do need to do something about income inequality, and that might help. That's all. Thanks.
Chair Barnhart and members of the committee, my name is Marsha Kelly, and I'm the Oregon Women's Rights Coalition lobbyist. It's a matter of transparency, and it's a matter of knowing who you're doing business with. We've heard that it would be oh so terrible for competition to have to disclose some of this information. I didn't see anything that was really, you know, what is your strategic plan in the bill. But I think that we should take a look and see what we do when we ask information of other people for whom we are providing services to sort of compare notes. We've asked address, it's the same, except that we ask for Social Security if you're applying for TANF and cash assistance or domestic violence help. We ask what kind of assistance you need, and it's pretty child care, domestic violence, food, or cash. And we ask some pretty other questions. Compare total tax before a credit if you've got tax credits. Are your monthly rent and utility payments more than your monthly income? Does anyone have a savings account, an IRA, or 401k? We ask full-time equivalent employment in the state for the first previous years under this bill. They ask how many people are living there that are going to be applying for benefits. We ask a lot of information from people for whom we are going to give, if it's a family of three, $500 in cash assistance a month, and who fall off that $500 of cash assistance when they reach $616 in income in a month, which is about $17 a week. I think transparency goes both ways. When we ask all of these questions of people in order to provide them with information, should we not be able to ask questions of those people who are doing business in Oregon, and especially those people who are getting tax credits, tax abatements, grants, and loans from the state? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. John Mullen from the Oregon Law Center here on behalf of the Human Services Coalition Tax and Revenue Committee. In the past, you've heard me testify about our tax principles, which are fairness, adequacy, stability, and transparency. Transparency was added as the last principle a number of years back. And I can recall a time when the word transparency was hardly ever heard in this building. And I think it's a tribute to the fact that over a period of time in thinking about some good government measures, it made sense to a lot of people to become more transparent and open to the public. The transparency website is an example of that. But any number of measures that this committee and preceding committees have taken in about becoming more open and discussing things like tax credits, the tax expenditure report, all of these things lend itself to greater transparency and, I think, greater trust in government. So this particular bill may have some issues to work out about protecting proprietary information. I don't know all of the ins and outs about the changes that are needed, but I just think that anything that works towards greater transparency is going to be something that the voters and the citizens of Oregon will be interested to see their government do. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Representative Benz, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is there anything that, other than, I think you just mentioned, proprietary information, anything and anyone that shouldn't be subject to this transparency requirement? Because I'm not quite sure why C corporations are selected out.
Or in.
Yes.
So the issue is, A, what do you think should be kept private, and B, who shouldn't be on this list, or who should be on the list?
Mr. Chair, Representative Benz, I haven't thought that all the way through, but I would say this. I'm president of a C Corp myself, outside of work, and my wife has an LLC, and I'd be happy to share that information with anybody who's interested. And also, I'm president of a nonprofit where we have disclosure requirements there. So I don't know how complicated it would be to add S Corps to this discussion, or whether it would be something that would sink further discussion about the bill. Sometimes some have to go first to make sure that we know what we're doing. And C Corps, generally speaking, are larger. In my case, it's not the case, which I would like it to be larger than it is. But nevertheless, I think that there are some nuances to this that I'm not prepared to totally talk about today, about which to include and which to exclude. But I think, again, from my way of thinking, this is a good start at looking at greater transparency for corporations in the state.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Leininger, please.
Thank you. It was really interesting to hear you mention, I guess, is it the 1099s that nonprofits file, because they get some support, and then property tax information being, or your suggestion that it be limited to businesses that accept incentives from the state. I'm wondering if any other states, if you can speak to whether any other states have laws in place that require businesses that accept incentives from that state to disclose in a kind of organized way either their property tax information or their income taxes or any of those iterations.
There's one state up near the Great Lakes, I'm not remembering which one, maybe Illinois, where if in the press there has been mention of the taxes paid by a corporation, then an individual resident of the state can seek that information, which is so if they want to know something. But you have to know the name of the entity. And, of course, businesses, I mean, part of the reason we have 6,000 LLCs is one corporation might have 18 LLCs in addition to its corporation, right? And so you would have to know. For instance, Facebook in Prineville is Vitessa. Well, if you don't know that and you made a request for information about Facebook's taxes, you wouldn't come up with anything on any kind of database unless the requirement is that the doing business as name as well as the legal entity name was part of what was disclosed. But they do have, so that state told me a number of years ago that a problem when they were trying to compare the taxes of different businesses was figuring out what the name of the business was as an entity in their state. But they did find really weird things, like Coca-Cola and Pepsi paid dramatically different taxes in their state. Mm. And two farm equipment companies paid dramatically different taxes in their state. And that, that raises interesting questions. Well, they only get the total, so they don't get the kind of breakdown.
Chair Barnhart and Representative Leininger, I don't have that information. I'd be happy to do some research on it. For some reason, these sorts of things bother me, and so I will try to find out some more information about any other states. But I think especially when we are giving away our tax dollars, be it income tax or property tax, that could otherwise go to services for the citizens of Oregon, we need to make sure that the entity that we're giving these tax breaks for is using it wisely and actually really does need it.
Other questions? Thank you so much. We appreciate your testimony very much. Steve Robinson, please. And then following him, Peter Thrillkill.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Steve Robinson, principal consultant at Decision Metrics. I find myself often in partial agreement with J.L. Wilson, and I have to say that that is true today also. I don't think that House Bill 2077 is ready for prime time. I think that there's quite a few issues with it that need to be worked out. But for me, it illustrates that you have a fairly large pile of bills that are related to the issues of transparency, accountability, and good management of tax expenditures. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are lots of good ideas in House Bill 2077 that shouldn't be just thrown away. I think that your process should take the good ideas in that bill and some of the other bills that are before you and come up with something that's workable. And let me explain a little bit why. The tax expenditure report has a listing of tax expenditures by program and function. And if you look at page 20 through 22 of the tax expenditure report, it lists 74 tax expenditures under the category of economic and community development. The total cost of those 74 tax expenditures is over $3 billion a biennium. I know this is the Revenue Committee, not Ways and Means, but in recent years, you have wisely begun to look at tax expenditures in a way more closely aligned with budgetary decisions. And later, when you convene as JTAX, you will be focusing very specifically on Oregon credits. To me, the most important question you need to consider is, do these tax expenditure programs work efficiently to create the desired outcomes? This is the same question you ask about a $3 billion agency budget request. When you aren't satisfied with the information provided by the agency director, you keep drilling in with requests for more information until you are satisfied. The kinds of bills that HB 2077 is a forerunner of, and some that you've already heard, provide information to that information gathering process. They require taxpayers, many of whom receive some of those $3 billion in tax incentives, to provide data you absolutely need in order to properly evaluate the cost effectiveness of the incentive programs involved. Without it, you've been flying blind for far too long. I'm certainly not opposed to the state's involvement in economic development activity. In fact, I think it's an essential factor in creating the proverbial rising tide we all need to float on. But I'm concerned about the possibility of wasting money on programs that merely provide a windfall subsidy to people or businesses who are just doing what they always do. As I said back in February, we can't afford to just send a message that Oregon is friendly to business. The public trust demands that we keep improving our systems of gathering and analyzing data to make sure we are spending tax dollars wisely. the bills that you will be considering this session are a positive next step in that chain of improvement. And so I view this as a step in the process, and I hope it continues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for Mr. Robinson? Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Peter?
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, I'm Peter Threlkill. I'm the director of the Corporation Division for the Secretary of State's office, here to speak with you about House Bill 2077. For the record, we are neutral on the bill. The Corporation Division is the first stop for business in Oregon. We're where you go to start and register a business, and we provide a lot of information to help new business people get up and running and referrals to help them be successful. The division does not currently regulate any business activity or enforce trade practices in any way. House Bill 2077 will change that by making the Corporation Division the investigator and enforcer of businesses that do not file the required reports or do not file them correctly. The office is not currently set up with the staff, the expertise, or the tax experience to determine which companies are required to file a report or to determine the accuracy of the information contained in those reports. Without access to the tax information that's filed with the Internal Revenue Service or the Oregon Department of Revenue, We have no way to determine the accuracy of those reports, or even if a business is a taxpayer and required to file the report. When we spoke with Department of Revenue, they noted that there's nothing in the bill that allows them to even talk to us. So that's certainly an area that it causes concerns for us. Under current tax law, the Department of Revenue could not share that information with us. If the legislature is looking to for better ways to understand the effectiveness of current tax policy, perhaps legislators could be granted expanded access to work with the Department of Revenue to be able to review tax filings and understand the implications of current tax law and how that's applied as a way to develop better legislation to address the concerns of the committee. As an example, at the federal level, the Congressional Oversight Committees on Intelligence are able to meet in closed-door sessions with the intelligence community agencies so that information is shared and Congress can then write better security laws that help protect our country and also provide oversight of those intelligence agencies. Perhaps this is something that could work at the state level around tax policy. We feel that the bill in its current form presents significant practical challenges and that there are more effective ways for the legislature to obtain tax information to support good policymaking. If we can be an assistance in developing any alternative solutions, we are happy to do so. Although I would point out that we do have limited tax knowledge and expertise. So thank you for allowing my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Representative Smith-Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So say we were to take the tack that one of the other testifiers suggested of tying some sort of disclosure to the acceptance of tax credits outright. Would that simplify the ability of whether to run through Secretary of State or some joint effort of DOR and Secretary of State? Would that simplify the reporting requirements and kind of the ability to manage something like that?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Smith-Warner. The number of the other bill that does that escapes me at the moment, but having read through both of them, they both essentially require the same information to be reported in. So I think all that does is it just narrows the scope of who's impacted by the requirements. It doesn't change anything in the current version of that bill. It doesn't grant the Department of Revenue the ability to share confidential information with Secretary of State. And I think that that's really kind of the rub of the problem as a whole is that in the United States and in the state of Oregon, our tax system, the income tax system, is based on voluntary compliance. And you don't get to 98% voluntary compliance if the people that have to file those reports think that the agency that's receiving it is just going to share it out with other people. So, but I think that to answer your question specifically, I don't know that it narrows the scope. I don't think it changes the complexity or the ease of implementation.
Could I do a short follow up?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would posit that the requirement of disclosure in order to claim the credit would probably do a decent job at keeping compliance rates up.
Chair Barnhart's Representative Smith-Warner, would that be a disclosure to the Secretary of State or a disclosure to the Department of Revenue?
Mm. Good question. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? You indicated that you had other more practical ways the purpose of this bill to be accomplished, and you suggested one of them, similar to the Intelligence Committee at the federal level. What are some of the other suggestions that you would have that would be more practical ways to get and manage the information?
Well, I know that, Chair Barnhart, I know that one of the concerns deals with the public meeting law. So I recall a time in the Secretary of State's office where on another issue in a prior session, we had invited a number of legislators to come in and have some conversations about bills and ideas that we had to make Oregon more business friendly. And as we got the room started to fill up, somebody said, have we just created a quorum? And so we actually had to have half the legislators step out into the outer room. We met with half of them, and then they switched, you know, because just that you know, it was inadvertent, and we didn't, you know, the intent wasn't to invite the public and the press in. So much like these venues, I think that's one of the implications or one of the challenges that we have with government. And I'm not advocating that we change the requirements around public meeting law. Perhaps the ability to increase access that the legislative revenue staff has so that they could go and pore over the more of those reports and come back with information. I know the state auditors, when they go in and audit the Department of Revenue, they have to sign the confidentiality forms, and so they go on site, they review the information, they have access to it, but they can't talk about specific returns. But if there was an ability to talk about a little bit more of the detail in aggregate, kind of get to the root cause of when we have a tax policy, how is that being applied, and what's the impact of that, so that they could come back and share with the committee. You could maybe draft bills, maybe individual legislators could go over kind of under the guise of a field trip and sign those confidentiality statements with revenue, be able to kind of gain that additional understanding. And I think that in the conversations that we had, the legislators that we talked to, that it's really about kind of raising that awareness and understanding of how the tax laws that we have are currently being applied, so that better policy decisions can be made.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah, Representative Leininger, please.
Thank you. Is it the case that property taxes paid and the assessed value of property is currently public record?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Leininger, I do not know that specifically.
Can we note that question for staff, and sure, we'll get that for you.
I do know that if you don't pay those taxes, and the county decides that they want to file a lien and prosecute, that is a public record. Another area of public record is the Department of Revenue will file warrants on past due taxes with our office and our UCC system. Those are public records. We also have filings from the Internal Revenue Service but that's the tax year, the taxpayer's name, and the amount that is owed. It's not those other kind of details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not looking to ask you to have to answer a question that is outside your wheelhouse. So thank you for what you said. I guess I'd like to flag as a question to answer it or to ask at an appropriate time. You know, if it were the case that property taxes assessed and paid already is public record, then if what we were trying to do is get a look at how tax incentives that the state provides is affecting property or taxes paid, one place to look. If we cannot look at income tax for proprietary and confidentiality reasons, maybe that's an avenue that we could go. So I'd be interested in hearing if, in fact, those are already public record, which would help address some of the issues that I think have been raised today.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else for Mr. Threlkin? Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony.
You're
very
welcome.
Much. We have one more witness who's asked to be heard today. Lori Wimmer, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer, representing 42,000 members of the Oregon Education Association, and we're pleased to be here in support of this bill today because we believe that Oregonians deserve to know who is paying their fair share of taxes for core services such as education and health care and public safety. We also were the requesters of a bill that was just mentioned that would do the more quid pro quo. You are eligible for the tax break, the corporate tax breaks, if you are willing to engage in the transparency. That bill is House Bill 2138, and I believe it's a House revenue bill. We think that this bill and the one that we requested both would provide information that could be key in the search for politically viable tax system reform, whether in the legislative session or even at the ballot box. And that's why indemnifying only legislators probably wouldn't be the best idea, because there are policies also made at the ballot box. And so knowing who pays what is helpful to guide policy proposals in the other venue for lawmaking as well. We also think that having tax disclosure would institute broader public support and confidence in our tax system. We think that this is not unique, both in terms of the ability to undertake such a system. There are other states that do it and have figured out a way. We could look to them. And also, we do it in other areas. For example, disclosure of toxic substances, the amount of pollutions that certain manufacturing facilities release, records in hiring women and minorities in certain businesses. There are lots of different kinds of disclosure that have been made law, and so tax liability should be no different. Some may ask, why now? Because this is not a conversation that's new. And I think that that's because in these post-recessionary times, when Oregon's economy is starting to bounce back, but its revenue system continues to lag, people want answers to the why behind the what of that, and corporate transparency will give us some of that answer. Back in 1973, as we know, Oregon Center for Public Policy's reports, corporations paid about 17-18% of the general fund, and now it's under 6%. That's an interesting fact. There may be many reasons for that, but being able to get under the hood of the car enables us to figure out what the reasons are, whether they're good or bad or otherwise. It's a good question to have answered. And that's why our members are keenly interested in legislation of this ilk. You'll obviously, I'm sure, hear loud objections that this would be something that would impair competitiveness, as though somewhere in their tax filings lies the secret sauce recipe. You will also hear that that this paints corporations in some way in a negative light. That's certainly not my members' intent. We believe that they're simply taking advantage of income tax laws that policymakers and others have passed. That's certainly the case. We just think it's important for the taxpayers who, frankly, are shouldering the tax load of those who don't pay because they get preferential tax treatment, they deserve to know who's paying what and how much and whether or not that's fair. We also think that it levels the playing field for businesses, because equity in corporate tax policy would improve the business climate overall were it to be tweaked in such a way that everyone were on an equal playing field, where we suspect that's not the case under Oregon's current corporate tax laws. So for democracy to work, we believe that the public must be able to hold policymakers accountable, and good corporate citizens are created when you have policy that institutes that. We think that this bill and our other bill that we mentioned balance the public's need for information related to critical tax policy issues against the need to minimize the responsibility of compliance, and we think this bill leads the way in that effort. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? I think you've said it all. Thank you very much. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2077. As I've already noted at the beginning of the meeting, we will be carrying over our deliberations for hearing and work session for Senate Bill 611 to tomorrow. I'm not promising that there'll be a lot going at that point, because we're working hard trying to understand some of the details of the bill and working on the potential amendments for the committee to consider. But I want it on the agenda for tomorrow, in case we're ready with any piece of that. It may very well be carried over to further sessions as we continue to develop materials for it. Paul, anything else I need to say today? All right. Thank you very much. And with that, the committee is adjourned.